Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. Our Sunday worship is on site and online at 9:30 a.m., and you can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Caressa continues our series, Christ Encounters of the Risen Kind, with a sermon titled, Jesus at the Sea of Tiberias. Scripture comes from John 21, 1 through 19, and is read by Bobby and Matthew Swift.
Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got onto the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed into the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards.
When they landed, they saw the fire of burning coals there with the fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish you have just caught." So Simon climbed back into the boat and dragged the net to the shore. It was full with large fish, 153. But even though it was torn, Jesus said to them, "Come back and have some breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon and Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Third time he said that to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
"Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, and you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter returned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?"
This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, sometimes if you're like me, you're scrolling through the TV channels, and maybe because we got a little snow yesterday. Okay, by the way, it's the end of April. And thank you for telling me don't plant until after Mother's Day. Saved me a couple of $100 there. But yesterday, we got a chance, a rare chance in my family, just to have an unexpected day at home. Otherwise, we would have been about three different ballparks. And so there I am, getting a chance on this beautiful snowy day to sit on the couch and scroll through the TV channels. You ever did that, right? And even sometimes we fight over the remote. No? Oh, okay. We do in my family. But as I was scrolling through, you know, sometimes you stumble upon a show or a movie that you haven't seen in forever, and you're like, oh, wow, I forgot about that one. You know what? Since it's on, let's go ahead and watch it. Well, that happened to me the other day when I stumbled upon the classic movie of Forrest Gump. Now, if you have not seen that movie, I highly recommend it to you. The movie begins with Forrest Gump sitting on a bench waiting for the bus. And as people come and sit on the bus, come and sit on the bench waiting for the bus, Forrest engages them in conversation. And of course, with a box of chocolates in his hands, he shares stories from his life. And as he does, the movie flashes back to the past to reveal what happened, filling in all of those little details for us who were watching. And it's the flashbacks that help the present day story make sense. Well, that seems to be what is going on in our scripture passage today. With each movement, with each word and detail, the author of John 21 hints back at parts of the story that we have already heard, that we've already seen happen. And with each flashback, the author fills in the little details, fleshing out the importance of this present moment for these disciples, especially for Peter. Now, it's been days, weeks, even months since the disciples were huddled together behind locked doors. Remember, Jesus came and appeared to them once and then appeared to them twice to show Thomas the marks on his hands. But there's an amount of time that goes by where the disciples are still stuck, huddled, hiding in the house. And eventually, Peter, of course it's Peter, right? He decides, I'm going to venture out. He says, I think I'll go fishing. Kind of random, but if you know Peter, it's going back to who he was. I think I'll go fishing. And then six others go, all right, well, we'll go with you. So they travel. They leave Jerusalem and they travel back to the Sea of Galilee, which happens to be their old stomping grounds. You see, it was here, around the Sea of Galilee, that they journeyed with Jesus. It was here at the Sea of Galilee where they saw Jesus perform hundreds of miracles. It was here at the Sea of Galilee that they heard his teachings and that they first became his disciples. Now, in our reading, Peter and the disciples, like they had done time and time again, are out fishing in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, just as they were the very day they met Jesus. You see, they had been fishing all night and caught nothing. By the way, the disciples never catch anything unless Jesus helps, if you've noticed that. And I have to wonder about their profession, honestly, because I'm like, you were fishermen, right? And you don't catch anything unless Jesus helps you? Nah, there's more to that story. But here they are, they've been fishing all night, they've caught nothing, and then a voice, a strange voice, well, this time not so strange, comes from the shore, and I love Jesus is like, have you caught anything? No, of course not. We need your help. And so Jesus says, okay, throw your nets onto the other side. And when they do, they haul in nets overflowing with fish, a random 153 to be exact, as it says in the scripture. And as they're pulling in those nets, I can't help but wonder that they flash back. They flash back to the first time they heard his voice, to that first fishing miracle, that first time that they met him face to face, the first time he said, follow me. The voice, the boat, the sea, the shore, the fish, the miracle, it's all coming back to Peter now. And Jesus' words ring in his ears, follow me. And I will make you fishers of people. But then the guilt and the remorse set in. Follow me, Jesus said. Yet Peter failed to follow him to the cross. Instead of standing and defending his friend, he ran in fear and in the confusion and chaos of it all. He denied knowing Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, just as Jesus said he would. And then Peter snaps back to present day when he hears John say, "It is the Lord." And Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to Jesus. And as the sea surrounds him, I can imagine Peter flashes back to the time when Jesus was walking on water. And Peter called out to Jesus, "Jesus, let me come to you." And as soon as Peter stepped out of the boat, his fear and doubt consumed him, and he began to sink into the water until he cried out for Jesus to save him. And Jesus said, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" "Why did I doubt?" Peter asked himself. "Why did I doubt?" What Jesus said about his own death and resurrection. He told us several times that he had to die and that he would rise again on the third day. Why did I doubt? Why didn't I believe? Why did I run in fear? What kind of disciple am I? And then Peter gets to the shore and he runs to Jesus. And Peter is there drying himself off by the charcoal fire. And as he does so, this inward chill comes over him, reminding him of what he did the last time he stood warming himself by a fire. It was the night of Jesus' arrest. And Peter denied knowing Jesus three times, abandoning his friend, his savior, in his darkest hour. And the movie continues to play of this scene of John 21, and there they are on that shore where they had been many a time. And Jesus offers Peter and the disciples fish and bread. And their minds immediately go back to the scene just off of that shore where Jesus feeds 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. And then as Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples, their minds jump back to the upper room at the Last Supper they shared with Jesus, the night that he washed their feet, the night that Judas betrayed him, the night that he gave them the bread of life and the cup of salvation. It was as if this whole scene taking place on the shore of Galilee in John 21, the sea, the boat, the calling, "Follow me," the fish, the bread, the fire, the doubt, the guilt, replayed Peter's whole journey with Jesus. And after they ate breakfast, Jesus pulls Peter aside for a little one-on-one, a little heart-to-heart with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Simon, son of John." And I can imagine Peter was taken aback because Jesus had not called him that since the first day they met. Remember, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. But here in this moment, on the shore where they met, Jesus looks at Peter and he calls him by his original name, Simon, John, Simon, son of John. "Do you love me?" And each time Peter says, "Yes, yes, Lord, you know I love you." And as I watch this movie unfold, I hear the three questions, "Do you love me?" echoing the three times Peter denied him. I think these questions were for Peter's benefit more than Jesus. I think Jesus knew Peter's guilt and remorse, that painful wound that was still exposed from his denial, his doubt, his failure. And instead of ignoring the issue, instead of sweeping it under the rug, pretending everything's okay, or instead of allowing it to fester, Jesus asked Peter the question that gets at the heart of the matter: "Do you love me?" And as Jesus asked this question three times, Peter's deep wound is gently exposed. His guilt and his remorse are met with God's grace and forgiveness. And his failures are exchanged for a second chance. Here in this moment, Jesus allows Peter to work through his past so that he can embrace his future. And each time Peter answers, "Yes, yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus issues a fresh challenge, a new commission. Jesus is not only forgiving Peter, but is sharing and entrusting Peter with his work and his flock. "Peter, it's time for you to learn how to be a shepherd. Time to feed my sheep and look after them. Peter, you are called not to sit and wallow in this guilt and this pain and this remorse, but you are called to go and feed my people of God with the word of God, to guide and protect them, to bring them back when they stray, to care for them when they're hurt. Peter, it is time for you to forgive yourself. It is time for you to know that you are forgiven by God. And it is time for you to show my people the way, the truth, and the life." The scripture passage, in just a few short verses, flashes back to recall Peter's up and down, twisted, good and bad journey with Jesus. And in and through this, Jesus issues Peter a new call. Now, there were times when Peter was bold to profess Jesus as Lord, quick to act, strong and faithful. I mean, he's the rock, right? But then there were also times where Peter succumbed to doubt, to failure, to denial, to guilt, to remorse. But Jesus does not let Peter's story end with his denial, with his failure. You see, Jesus comes to redeem Peter's mistakes. He comes to redeem Peter, who is wallowing in this remorse and this regret. Jesus comes to restore Peter in full grace and forgiveness and wholeness and love and peace. And Jesus comes to renew his calling and say, "I am not done with you yet, Peter." If we're honest, I think in a lot of ways, our own journey mirrors Peter's. There are times in our past, or maybe even in our present, when we've done something or said something we know we should not have, and we wish we could take it back. There are times when we overreacted, when we should have stepped back to pause, to assess, and to calmly respond. There have been moments when we have allowed the tension to build until it explodes and the danger is already done, regretting that we let it go that far. And sometimes an image, a sound, an interaction flashes back to a previous mistake or failure, to a broken relationship or something we should have said or done. Oh, those woulda, shoulda, couldas, right? They can trap us in this endless, regretful cycle. And so, friends, today I believe that through this story in John 21, through this movie that we have been playing and flashing back and forth, I believe that what God wants us to hear today is that what the risen Jesus did for Peter, Jesus also offers to us today an opportunity to admit our failures, to admit our mistakes, to admit our sins. An opportunity to express our guilt and our remorse, our regret. But it doesn't stop there. You see, I believe that not only does Jesus offer us an opportunity to confess and to express what is going on in our heart, that baggage that is weighing us down, I believe that Jesus meets us where we are and gives us that heart-to-heart connection to listen to the good words of Jesus that say, "I love you and I forgive you. That I'm not going to let you stay where you are. I love you too much to be done with you. I love you and I want you to be renewed, to be restored, to be redeemed." And so Jesus offers us time and time again a lifetime opportunity to be enveloped in God's grace and mercy, for Jesus to meet us where we are, to give us an endless opportunity at a second chance. So if you are in need of that second chance today, friends, I encourage you to spend that one-on-one time with Jesus in prayer, to bear what it is that is holding you down, that is weighing you down, the burdens that you're feeling, whether it's sin or failure, regret, remorse, and express it to Jesus and say, "Jesus, walk with me in this. redeem me, restore me, renew my calling, and let me know that there is always, always a second chance. Today, Jesus asks you, do you love me? And may we answer, yes. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then may we hear Jesus say to us, then go. Go into the world as my disciples who have been healed of their hurts, forgiven of their sin, redeemed and restored and renewed in your calling to go and to feed my sheep and to take care of my people. Let us pray. God of grace and God of love and forgiveness, we come to you because you call to us, whether from the shore of the Sea of Galilee or from the confines of our prayer room and heart. You speak to us and you call out to us and you call us by name and you said, you are mine and you are loved and you are forgiven. So as you spoke and guided Peter, may you speak and guide us to bear all to you and to hear you say that you are forgiven and that there is and always be a second chance. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. If you want to know more about New Hope, you can subscribe to our weekly email newsletter, The Midweek Memo, by going to our website and signing up. Friends, may you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and may you go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace.